You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times, in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. Welcome to a new season of the Everywhere You Are podcast. This season, we'll be talking about invitations of Jesus. Our first conversation is with two Dawson staff members, Avery Flint and Hannah Adams. Since we recorded this episode, Avery has been named the permanent associate college minister at Dawson. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. I'm your host, Rachel Langston, and our guests today are Avery Flint and Hannah Adams. Avery and Hannah are both on staff here at Dawson, and so we'll start by asking Avery, where are you today?
Yeah, so I just graduated college from Sanford with a BA in Christian Ministry and a minor in music. And I am now on staff at Dawson, which is so fun. I've been an intern at Dawson for, I think, like 4 years. It's a culmination of 4 years.
In our beta program?
In the beta program, yes, with the college ministry. And so now I am serving as interim associate minister to college students. I'm the oldest of five kids. I live with my sister here in Birmingham, and it's been so fun. She's a cosmetologist, so I get my hair done like all the time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's super amazing. And it's like a bonus of like living together. So
yes.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Okay, we need to do another podcast with like tips and tricks.
Oh my word, she would love that. She would like scold me so hard and be like, Avery, you don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Hannah, tell us where you are.
I also just graduated from Sanford, but graduated from BSIN with my husband. So I got married in December, started working at Dawson in October. So I'm the associate minister to children. Then got married in December and just graduated from BSIN. So it's been a season of transition and change, but in all of the best ways. So we're really excited for what this next season holds. I'm from Birmingham, so it's been fun to just be back here through BSIN, but also just to minister in the city where I grew up, but at a different church and in a different context. It's just really a privilege and to be close to my family. Most of my family still lives here in Birmingham. I have two younger sisters. One is in the military, so she lives far away in Baltimore. So we're sad that she's far off, but the rest of us are all here. So
yeah,
it's a sweet time.
And Southwest has a nonstop to Baltimore.
They
so,
do. So yes.
You can get there pretty quickly.
We can, so. Yes.
Well, this season on the podcast, we're going to talk about invitations of Jesus. And specifically, we're looking at three types of invitations that we find in Scripture. The first type is an invitation to rest. And the second one is an invitation to discipleship. And the third one is an invitation to live in the realm of God, which is really kind of a fancy way to say to abide with God or abide with Christ. So tell us about a time when you've sort of felt restless in your faith and that restlessness has either drawn you closer to God or it has helped him to help you see where he was leading you.
Yeah, I think for me, like, this past season that I've been like walking through as a senior in college, but also kind of transitioning into a new role, like within the church and like graduating college, it's just been super busy and I, like good busy, not bad busy, but I think I just, I got in like a headspace of like, I need to do it all by myself. And like, if I drop anything, then like people are gonna be disappointed. And in the college ministry, we've been kind of shifting towards this like idea of rest and how like we don't talk about it and we don't practice it. And at the end of the day, it's just disobedience. And so, I think, like, for me, as I've been talking about it with college students and, like, experience it with myself, like, it boils down to you're just being disobedient, not resting. And I think for me, it was like a wake-up call to be like, okay, it's not just an option to rest, but like you're actually called to rest. And so I think it's kind of shifted my perspective of like, hey, like if you want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, this is what you have to do to like do that. And so I think in just this busy season, it's been a time where I've just really had to press in to either spiritual disciplines to the degree that I can, and like press into the things that I already know what to do, like read my scriptures and talk to people in community and talk to the Lord. So I think pressing into spiritual disciplines has really helped me in this like busy season. So
I have come out of a very similar season, I think, and I also, in thinking about this question, I think I just tend to be a restless person. And getting married has really highlighted that, because my husband is not as much that way. And I think just having somebody watch me and my busyness, even around the house, like I get home after a day of work and I'm like, what else can I do? And like you were saying, Avery, that's not just, oh, that's just my personality and I'm just like a hardworking person, but like it is disobedience to never rest and to never just sit and say that it's enough, because the Lord is enough and He has made me enough and it is not my own doing. It's really been a slow perspective shift, and so I think finishing seminary and it being a thing where when you're in school, you have this constant deadline, this constant homework when you get home, and when you have to work while you're also in school, it's just, there really is something
right.
to do constantly.
Right.
And so even in the last month, it's like, oh, I don't have anything else to do. I can finish work and go home
yeah.
and just not work anymore. And I think it's invited me into that rest of Jesus. And I think tying it back theologically to the fact that we don't work for our salvation, but we accept it. And I think when I started to reflect on why am I so restless, it really did come back to, I don't believe in my heart of hearts that Christ has really done the work for me. And I'm acting as if I believe I have to do it myself. And so that's been a perspective shift of leaving things undone and realizing that the Lord still loves me and He still accepts me. And if I had to do it all myself, I would fail. And so just being able to accept His grace and His mercy, and accept that I'm enough because He's enough.
So I think both of you could probably speak to a little bit different view of rest, because you are both in ministry on a staff, on a church staff. And so, you know, your Sundays where we call that a day of rest, those are not your days of rest. So what does it look like for you, but also for anybody that has a sort of an awkward schedule or an irregular schedule? Like, how do you find, what counts as rest for you, and then how do you find the time to sort of build that into your life?
I love that question. So something about me is that I am not, in my flesh, I'm a super undisciplined person. Like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. just, like, bottom line, like, it's just, like, a fleshly desire that I continuously have to fight. So for me, I have to fight against that I don't want to do it more than, like, this is something I need to do for, like, my own, like, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional health. And so I think for me, this is going to be kind of silly, but I really like to watch movies. And so one thing is, like, I can, like, turn on a movie and, like, my brain can just, like, be, and I don't have to think about it. And so I think that's something that I've, like, learned about myself. Like, if I could just put on a movie and just, like, orient my brain a little bit, even if it's just a silly movie. So that's something that's helped me. I also think that I have to really be disciplined in my time and, like, what I do on Saturdays or what I do on Fridays. Like, it has to be very, not scheduled, but almost like, hey, like, this is what I'm gonna do and this is how I'm gonna do it, because if I just, like, get to the day, I'm not gonna do it. And that's, like, something that I've had to learn about myself in college. But I think it looks very different, and just, like, when Sunday's not your rest day kind of it is for everybody else. I think the Lord shows you a different kind of sweetness in the other days leading up to it. So that's kind of been, so like I just said movies, but like I think it's just something like super like not surface level, but something that just helps me like turn my brain off and like rest a little bit. I've also realized that I have to be, I have to put myself into people's lives. Let me explain that, because I am not a people person. I'm not an extrovert. I like to be myself. And so resting for me is not being by myself, because I do that all the time. So I would have to go put myself into like go hang out with people and like not talk about like deep, heavy stuff. Like just like be light and like talk with people about like what their day is like. What are they doing? Like, what are they working with? Like, how? What did they learn today at work? Like, what did they buy at the grocery store? Like, where? What did they? What good food did they eat last night at dinner? Like, lighter things, because I feel like my work is so heavy sometimes. So that has been really restful for me, and realizing that that's okay to do that, and it's not unspiritual. It's actually very spiritual.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot, because I'm an introvert too, and I don't feel like I ever can get enough alone time. So, which feels like rest to me, but it's almost, there's a selfishness to that of not being intentional about engaging other people. So I like that. All right, Hannah, what does rest look like to you?
I think I've reflected a lot about, I like to put things back to order. So I think throughout the week, life starts to feel kind of crazy, and even it's reflected in like my house starts to look crazy, and I start to feel like I'm not getting things done, because it's just, you know, you're kind of getting through the day. And even, you know, Sundays, as someone who works at a church, and I think even a lot of our people here at Dawson who serve regularly, they probably feel the same thing, even though they don't professionally work here. They're doing a lot of work on Sunday, and so I think they feel it with us. But I think on my Fridays and my Saturdays, it's a lot of just like putting things back to order, whether that's my body of like taking a long bath or taking a walk or just sitting and resting or watching a movie or something where my body just gets to rest. And also like my mind and spirit reflecting on the things of the Lord, thinking about what is He teaching me, where am I at spiritually and mentally, and then also just think simply like putting my house back together, cleaning, because just even I enjoy cleaning. I'm one of those strange people, I guess, but I think it's not the cleaning, it's putting things back to order, that I feel like things have gotten chaotic and I want to put them back to order, and it helps me feel at rest and at peace. And I think I can be a little bit too into that, but I do think at the same time our God is a God of order, and He brings order out of chaos. And so I think to a certain extent, like, that's what rest looks like to
me. I love that. Since you're not in school anymore, do you feel like you have more time to devote to rest, or has your time kind of gotten filled up with all the other things anyway? Yours probably has, because you're a new wife, but
Well, I do think there's a lot of time for rest, mostly because my husband is calling me to rest a lot more. He said, I think last week, I want our family to be a family that rests better. And
I
was like, yeah, I think we should. But also, like, we're about to move to a new apartment. And I was like, yes, I also want that. But we also have to move, and we have to do all those things. And that's more where my brain goes. But I think one of the reasons the Lord brought us together is because He's calling that out of me.
Yeah,
we can meet somewhere in the middle of, yes, we should be a family that rests more. So I do think I am resting more, partially because of my husband, and also because there's no school to do when I get home.
Yeah, that makes a huge, huge difference.
Yes, it does.
So another invitation that we have from Jesus is the invitation to discipleship. And obviously we have His word. So how does that, whether it's study time or just time with the Lord, you know, how does scripture intersect all of these things in your life, your work, your home, your rest?
I feel like scripture speaks very, challenging at me in this specific season. Like, it's very sharp. Because I, again, am not a super disciplined person, and so when I go into scripture, like, it It has to be sharp to me, I think. And the Lord's been very kind to use scripture to like remind me of my first love and like remind me where I'm supposed to go to. And so if I hadn't like been in, if I miss like a few, like a 2 days or 3 days in the Word, like, and I come back to it, it's very sharp and it cuts very deep. And that's like, it's like the Lord's way of like reminding me like, hey, like this is your only source of like water. Like this is the only place where you can go to that knows you personal enough to like cut to those things that other people don't know. Or things that like I try to put like a facade up that it cuts like straight through it. And so I think I've been, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about the jars of clay. Like we have these treasures in jars of clay, to show the glory and the power of Christ. And so I think I've been reminded recently through scripture that I am just a jar of clay and the only treasure inside of me is Christ. And I have to be broken for him to be able to like be seen. And, the glory of him has to come out of that, of me being broken. And so I think scripture, like, it's very direct in this season of like everything's a little bit busy and I'm moving and I'm shifting and I'm growing up and changing perspectives, and so the Lord's have to like ground me in a sense of like, hey, go touch some grass and like actually get your head on straight. And in other seasons it looks very beautiful, like it's very encouraging and poetic, and so I think it's just like where I'm at and the Lord's like, okay, like come on, like you can't. You gotta get your head in the game, in a sense of like scripture calls us to plant our feet and to get grounded in a sense. So
how are you, and so you sort of backed your way into the idea that scripture is living and active. Mm-hmm. So how are you encouraged by the fact that in one season you find scripture to be very sharp, but in another season it's poetic and it's beautiful and it's normal and it's...
I think it helps to remind me that our God is a God who sees, and our God is a God who like understands what's happening in the inner workings of our heart, and he's not just a God that sits up in heaven and looks up into the clouds. Like, he's very involved in our lives, and so it's helping to see like, hey, like you may not think the Lord sees you and knows you and hears you and understands what's happening in your life because you may think that he's too busy but like actually, like when you get into the Word, like it's very direct and it shows me like, hey, like he actually cares about me and he actually cares about my well-being and my heart. And so I think like in seasons where it is very challenging and it is very sharp, like it's also a sweet way for the Lord to be like, I see you and I understand what you're going through and I understand like how you may drift and how you may come back. And so I think, yeah, it's just been a way for the Lord to like kind of wink at me and be like, I see you, like I understand what you're walking through.
Yeah, I like that. So Hannah, one of the scriptures that we're going to talk some about over the course of the year is Luke 9:23, and it says, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So what does denying yourself look like?
I think, and this might not sound as challenging as I think it actually has been for me, but I think it's been laying down, looking like I have it all together. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't necessarily look like what traditional suffering would look like, I think,
yeah.
Because we live in Homewood, right. You know, like it doesn't look like it looks like in the persecuted church. But I think the Lord has really convicted me that I value way too much what people think of me and looking like I have my life together. And I think especially as somebody who is a minister, like, is that the picture that we want to paint for people mm-hmm. in the church, and especially people outside the church, that to come and be a Christian, you need to have all your ducks in a row and never make a mistake and never forget about something. And I think what the Lord has really challenged me with is not to work without excellence, but on those moments where we do make mistakes and we do forget things and we're not at our best, to just be more honest and transparent about that. And I think Jesus, who was perfect, was also just didn't have a care about what people thought about him, and he was persecuted and hated for who he was, but he didn't try to hide who he was. He didn't try to make it look better for people. And so I think I've been convicted of that, that my role in this life is to be a follower of Jesus and to be true to who I am, and that my brokenness just shows his power, like Avery was talking about, the treasure in jars of clay, and that the more I show that my jar is truly a jar of clay and it's not anything more than that, the more I show the glory and the majesty of Christ in me.
I like that. And also, while he didn't care so much about what people thought about him, he also didn't, when he met people that were broken, mm-hmm. he was very obvious that he wasn't worried about their brokenness mm-hmm. as much as he was worried about them coming to him.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, deny yourself to me is somewhat what we were talking about earlier, Avery, with being intentional about engaging other people,
yeah.
because I'm so interested. I want as much, you know, kind of time alone as I can get as an introvert. And I too like to put things back to order. I love the way you said that. So to me, that, you know, there are times when I want to grab all of that time I can, and I need to be intentional about being willing to engage other people. So I like the idea of that. So you've touched on it, both of you, a little bit, the idea of community. And I think it's interesting when we talk about discipleship and abiding in Christ, how the role that community plays there. So talk a little bit about that, kind of those concepts and how they intersect with Jesus's invitation.
Yeah, I think for me, like, it's a topic of like discipleship and like what does that look like to be around people. And for the longest time, I think I had the idea that that looks like very one-on-one, very structured, and very personal. And yes, it does look like that, but it also looks like rubbing shoulders with people who are older than you on a Sunday morning and like seeing them worship and seeing them sing songs that they've sung for like their whole life. I think of one story when Pastor Dave was talking about David and Goliath. After the service, I went into the women's restroom and there was these two ladies, like older ladies, and they were talking and they were like, yeah, that sermon was just so convicting to me. And like, I've never heard that story in that light. And they were just going on and on and on about something that they learned. And I think I was discipled in that. Like, I point to that and say, like, that's something that helped me grow in my understanding of Christ, knowing that these older women, like these, what they call them, seasoned saints, like they are still learning and they are still growing and they can still sit in the restroom and talk about something that the pastor talked about. I think that was just so encouraging to me. I also think of like people in my life that caused me to think deeper about the things of Christ. I think in college culture, it tends to be very surface level and very my ideas and my truth is what it is. And I've had people recently in my life come alongside me and say, hey, like there's deeper meaning to this. Like what we may see on the surface is like a reflection of maybe like pride or a reflection of selfishness, and even like think deeper about scripture. So I think putting myself in community helps me to get outside of my own head, because I can become very prideful. And again, like I'm sure Hannah, you can relate to this, like in seminary, and I have a Christian ministry degree, like that knowledge can puff up and it can build up your sense of self. And so I think being in community with other people, it helps you realize, hey, like you don't know everything. Like there's things for you to learn. There's things for you to experience that you don't have yet.
And the vast majority of people you engage with are not going to know or care about all the academic aspects
exactly.
of ministry.
Exactly. And so it's like, hey, like, again, like, touch grass. Like, realize, like, that this is about people, and it's about people's hearts and people's relationship with Christ, not about how much you know. And so I think being in community helps me to like think deeper about things of the Lord and put myself in a position to learn and put myself in a position to grow.
Yeah,
and that goes back to, I love what you said about the women in the back bathroom. That goes back to scripture being living and active,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
they can hear the same story they've heard 1,000 times in a different light, or Pastor David can illuminate something that nobody's thought about that way before.
And they want to talk about it.
And they want to talk about it.
And they want to talk about it. I think that was so, like, that was so, such a stone of remembrance in my head. Like, hey, like, they wanted to talk about it after, and they didn't just want to go home.
And it wasn't like a big, hey, let's have lunch. It wasn't a huge debrief. No. It was a moment in the bathroom, I mean, literally.
And they didn't even know college student
that somebody
listening.
Was listening.
Like, they
yeah,
were just talking
perfect.
About it out of the overflow of their heart. And it ministered to me in a way that they don't even know. I don't even know who they are.
Yeah,
they don't even know who I am.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, Hannah, jump in there. What?
Yeah, that's so good. I think we talk a lot to parents of rising first graders who have their kids in the service for the first time. And I've never done that. I don't have kids in the service. So it's sometimes a little hard to be like, you can do it. And
right.
I'm like, I haven't done it, but you can do it. But one thing we talk about is, like, we are the family of faith. And, like, we want kids in there because we want, just like we're overhearing older people older than us worshiping or talking about the sermon and we're being discipled, we want kids to have that same experience. And I do think that's just such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, and that is how discipleship happens. Because we could just all turn on a podcast and listen to a sermon, but what would, I mean, we would gain something from that, but that is not the same experience as coming and being a part of a community, a family, a faith, and hearing a sermon, and worshiping, and going to a small group. You know, there's just so much more life on life that happens when you're with other believers that I think is just so crucial for discipleship. And going to seminary really did highlight that so much, because I think I learned and grew the most from the people that I met and the people that Spencer and I got to share life with while we were there. And of course the classes were wonderful, the professors were amazing, but even the relationships we had with the professors were so much more impactful than the lectures or the tests, you know, and the books that we read. But it's having people pour into your life and knowing you and being able to speak into, like, hey, how did, like, that reading on Luther, like, how does that impact, like, your walk today? Or, like, I know that you're going through this really hard thing. Like, did you think about how that passage of Scripture might impact what you're walking through? And I just think that's the true picture of discipleship, not just all of us learning about Jesus on our own.
Right. Well, and I love what y'all are both saying, too, about worship and the importance of all of us being together. You know, one of the beautiful things about Dawson is the multi-generational aspect. And, you know, when we dedicate families, when we have baby dedications, you know, Pastor David mentions, you know, you're gonna intersect with this child, and this child's gonna intersect, because, you know, in Sunday school and in camps and in D-Now and all the things. And I think there's something to be said for a first grader in worship seeing somebody that they've encountered in some other place, and not just hearing what's being done in worship, but watching other people and how they worship. And so it's not just this, what people say, it's the modeling of, this is what corporate worship looks like. And some people are participating on the stage, and some people are participating in the audience, but everybody is together, and it doesn't matter whether you're a first grader or whether you're 100. That it's the same Scripture, the same God, the same body.
Yeah, and I think it, like, calls it, and on the flip side of the coin, it calls people to a higher standard. Because, like, if I would have walked into that bathroom and heard these two women trashing the sermon, or, like, building, like, breaking down things and, like, finding minute things about the sermon that they didn't like and, like, complaining, it would have affected me differently, but it still would have affected me. And so I think for me, like, it helps me to be like, okay, there are other people that you're affecting when you are not following after Jesus in a corporate setting. Like, don't put on a face, but, like, make sure that your heart is aligned with Christ, and you're not just worshiping your preferences, and you're not just, like, bowing to the things that you like and that you don't like. Like, make sure that you're building up the body of Christ, as Ephesians talks about, and not breaking it down. I think it's an encouragement, but it's also like a challenge.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. So we've talked a little bit about scriptures, and we always on these podcasts like to incorporate any kind of favorite scriptures or go-to scriptures that you have.
In this season, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. And I think it just goes back to what I was talking about earlier, that it's not our own doing, and I just have to be reminded by that daily, because it's so easy to wake up and it's a new day and be like, okay, it's my day to try to prove myself or try to get my to-do list done. But the ultimate thing, my salvation in Christ, is not my own doing. It is a gift. And I think even getting to have conversations where I'm like explaining that to kids for the first time, or they're awakening to it for the first time, it reminds me of when I understood that for the first time. And then you kind of start to look at your life and you're like, oh, am I still living like that's what I believe? Because it is what I believe, 100%.
Right.
But am I living like that's what I believe? How would my life change if I really believe that it was not my own doing? How much could I relax if I really believe that it was my own?
What would my day look like?
Yeah.
How would my day be different?
Yeah.
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 I love that.
Yeah, I think, so this isn't going to be a verse that you maybe think about, and I think my favorite part of scripture changes every day, every hour, every week. So, but right now, we're walking through the book of Galatians with College Ministry, and I have just been so, again, challenged by it. And I've been reading Center Church by Timothy Keller, and it's been so eye-opening into the way that I see the gospel and how the gospel is supposed to affect everything, not just my church life. And so in Galatians 1:6, Paul's talking to the churches in Galatia, and he says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." And so I think for me, like, in this season where I am super busy and I'm super overwhelmed and anxious and don't know what the next steps look like, I'm kind of deserting the gospel. Like, I'm deserting what Christ has called me to and what he saved me for and what he saved me from. And so I think, like, this scripture was like, Paul was saying, hey, like, it's nonsense that you are even thinking about turning to a gospel, because that is actually no gospel at all. And I was reading and it was like, anything that adds to the gospel, so anything like busyness, any anxiety, any worries that you can tack onto the gospel actually subtracts from it. And so I think, like, it's been so challenging for these words to be like, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the gospel. And the Lord was like, hey, like, you're teaching this, but, like, are you deserting the gospel? Like, are you deserting the thing that Christ has called you to? And so I think it's just been super encouraging and challenging, but also sharp, but also, like, get back, like, reorient your perspective. And what is this all about? It's about the gospel of Christ.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe we're not deserting it, you know, wholesale, but in little ways and in little pieces, in little bits of trying to make sure we've got it all together and all those things, you know, we desert the truth that it is a gift and we don't have to earn it and we don't have to try to keep it. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to, we don't have to keep earning it.
Yeah. I think Hannah said it. It was like, what do you actually believe about God? Like, at your core level, like, you may put up this front that you know you've been saved by grace through faith, but, like, what do you actually believe, and how does that actually, like, playing out in your life, what you believe? So just returning back to the gospel is something that I've been learning and loving.
That's wonderful. So what have we not covered in as far as, like, invitations to rest, to discipleship, and to abide in Christ? Is where anything we haven't mentioned that?
Well, I think of, like, John 15, where he talks about abiding in Christ, and the last part of that verse is, apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, you can't do anything. And so I think, back to Hannah's point, like, it's not that you
can't do any, like, you can't do anything fruitful, and you can't do anything good. Everything that you do is going to be tainted and spoiled, in a sense of, like, you're doing it out of the overflow of, like, your heart, which is sinful. And so I think, like, apart from Christ, none of these things can happen. And so, like, going back to that abiding peace, like, you have to abide in Christ. And if you're not, then everything else is disoriented.
Can you relate to Avery when she says that the Lord uses scripture to remind her of her first love? And like Hannah, can you trust that whatever you've done or not done is enough because the Lord is enough to fill any gaps that you miss? Everywhere you are today, we pray that you would accept the invitations of Jesus in your life. Rest in Him. Grow in Him. Abide in Him. Please join us again next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with other women that you think could benefit from hearing about God working in the lives of ordinary women. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit DawsonChurch.org and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.